Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080. The Fan.
You're on, George.
Oh, you're telling me to host from here?
I thought that's what we agreed on. I'm just trying to give you your reps.
I appreciate it. You know what? Let's do it. Why not?
Yeah, we can do some, you know, everybody else does in the station. You do the first hour, I do the second hour, or you can just do the whole thing, and I can sit here and be lazy. And,
why not? I'll try to be Howard Stern today. All right, welcome on into Sports Sunday. It is May 12th. That means the second round of the playoffs are absolutely in full swing. My goodness, it's been an entertaining weekend.
Is that first thing you thought of today?
First thing I thought of was the second round of the playoffs, because that's what we've been talking about. I mean, there's the Tom Brady roast to get to.
Well, you didn't think about Mother's Day today?
I'm trying to open it up to, like, say, hey, there's a lot going on. But rounding it out to Pink Bats on Sunday. Pink jerseys, pink accessories in Major League Baseball. It is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to you and yours, Rashawn.
Like,
what?
Is it was a cancer awareness this month? I thought it was in October.
Well, no. It's just today. It's not the whole month. It's not like they do it in the NFL where
all moms like pink?
I'm not sure it's just moms that like pink, but it's the best color to represent.
I feel like purple is a better color to represent Mother's Day.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Why is that?
I don't know. I think, you know, pink is obviously it's always been a more, like, historically more feminine color, you know, and everything. But purple, you know, I always, now in sports, I always equate pink with breast cancer awareness.
Okay.
And so it's kind of one of those things. I've always kind of equated that. But purple, I believe that's something else. I know that all the colors are taken. I think purple, I forget exactly what that is.
I'm like, I got to bring up the color support.
So maybe just do a mashup of both. You know, I think throw them in there. Nice, you know, bouquet of roses colors. I think that'll be cool.
Well, because then in June, you've got Father's Day, which is baby blue, you know, for
is that Father's Day?
That at least in Major League Baseball. Yeah, it's baby blue.
I had no idea we even had a color or somebody that recognized Father's Day ever.
They've been doing it in Major League Baseball for, I don't know, I think it started with just the bats, like a pink bat and a blue bat, and then it kind of moved on to the accessories.
Were you doing gender reveals at the game?
I've never seen one of those, although I used to be the Hops MC, and I participated in many a proposal, so I'm not surprised. I would not be surprised if a gender reveal ended up
happening. If you're a woman, like, you have to love sports to get to accept a proposal at a game.
Yeah.
Seriously, like, you can't be just like a fringe fan.
Gotta be in
or like
man.
We,
gotta
you know, because that's more our thing. That's more your thing. Like, that's you taking your now wife to a Mariners game as you guys are a year and a half, 2 years in, and putting her on the Jumbotron. Baby, will you marry me? Like, I'm sure
that's
if I'm not really super into baseball or super into basketball or whatever sport, I'd be like, cool, like, you asked me to marry him. However, it was at a baseball game, and it was in front of everybody. It wasn't that fairy tale, or maybe it is a fairy tale for a lot of women. Again, I think you have to love whatever sport you're going to watch. You guys are both diehard Mariner fans. You're both diehard Seahawk or Raider fans or whatever the case is, and so that would make sense. But I don't know. I feel like if I'm somebody getting proposed to on, you know, at a major league game or at a NBA game, and
tough.
I just was kind of going for fun. Like, yeah, I don't know if I think I say yes in the moment because I don't want that person to be embarrassed. But afterwards, I'm like, no, we're not getting married.
So you wouldn't pull.
You asked me to marry you at a Rangers game. Like, come on.
You wouldn't pull the public rejection because that's kind of what I was thinking of. Like, as you're talking about that, like, yeah, there are so many of those out there that, like, yeah, the lady says yes, and it's a beautiful situation where it does seem like she's in love with him. She loves the game or the sport that they're at, whoever they're watching. I'm sure this kind of stuff happens like before Timbers games. You know, I don't think soccer is really the kind of sport you can do it during the game,
right?
Like baseball, but there's all kinds of events surrounding. All kinds of these, you know, for Duck games, for Timber games, for Blazers games locally. And if you have a connection with your SIGO and you've been going, like, I love hearing stories
that's
about
different.
People.
Yeah, that's
yeah like
different.
That meet at a game or something.
That, sure.
That's not quite what I'm talking about. It's more so the, well, you know, I met my wife online. Like, for instance, I met my wife on OkCupid before it was popular. So we lied to our families for like 5 years or so, kind of before we outed ourselves, being like, all right, we met online. Everybody's kind of doing this whole Tinder thing now, so we're safe saying this to each other and, you know, each other's families. But
right. But
me bringing her to a game, you know, she wasn't necessarily into sports as a kid, so that alone was kind of a risk. You know, it's like, you gonna be into this, babe? Okay, you love
what
this
game?
Awesome. The first game we went to together, I believe, was a Blazers game.
Good game to go to. Basketball's good. It's back and forth. It's hard to be bored with that all the time.
Well, and the reasoning was that she moved here the year that Damian Lillard was drafted by the Blazers. So it was kind of synonymous as far as like her, you know, trying to get into sports. It was synonymous with Damian Lillard's career starting in Portland. So a Blazers game was a good place to start. She didn't really know much about sports, but recognized, yo, Dame, that kid, he is an exciting player, and he's going to be really good. And, you know, lo and behold, here we are. And many Blazers games later, I've taken her to Mariners games. She's from Boston, so we've gone to Fenway to see the Red Sox game. We even caught a Red Sox-Mariners game, very lucky, one time. But I would deem it a huge risk asking her to marry me at one of those events.
Yeah,
I don't think that would have been
smart. You got to be really, really confident that she's going.
Next. I hit the wrong button, sorry.
I was like, what happened to my... Yeah,
I'm
gotta,
trying to cough in here, and I'm just shutting you up.
You got to be really confident she's going to say yes.
Yeah.
And you
got to
be... Man, like, that's a lot of pressure. Like, already, you know, you already know you're married, getting married soon. Like, that's a lot of pressure to ask a woman to marry you, bro.
Yeah. The proposal is...
Like, there's a it can be really, that could go super left real fast. Well, even like a no, not yet, I'm not ready to get married. It's still like a man, a kick in the balls if that happens.
And
you know, so
proposals have such a wide expectation. I do think women vary in what they want. Some women want the grandiose proposal. Some maybe want like their mothers or fathers, they're taping what's happening, you know, like a surprise. Some kind of pick up that it's coming in certain relationships. You just know like it's that time. And, you know, when you get there in a situation where everything's beautiful, you're on the beach, you're at a dinner, and he gets on one knee, you halfway expect it. You know, but then there are the others where you're just completely surprised. And then there's the others where dude totally out of the blue steps up and just randomly asks you 2 months into a relationship or a little earlier than she thought. And those are the bad stories. But that is kind of what a rejection looks like at a game. It's awful. It's cringeworthy. You feel it. No matter if you're watching it on TV or there in person, you feel it hard.
Absolutely. And it's embarrassing for both people. Yeah. It's not just the person that's asking you to marry them, but the person that's saying no. How much of a jerk do you look like in front of the whole world? You know, this person's kind of poured out their heart. They pulled out all the stops at this point. If you're getting married at the game, like, I'm pretty sure that's a nice, it's a nice little check.
I mean,
check that
did
you
they
have to
though,
write.
Rashad? Did they
married,
pull out all the
me.
Stops?
I'm saying, but if I go to a Mariners game, let's just say that the nearest thing to us right now, go to a Mariners game and say, hey, I'm going to propose to my girlfriend during the seventh inning stretch or during, you know, whenever, like, I'm pretty sure you're going to have to cut a nice check to be able to do that. I'm pretty sure those aren't free.
I know that the banner, if you wanted to put it up on like the Jumbotron, that's probably going to be a few hundred bucks.
Get your face on the jump. That's one thing to just go to the game. Like, will you marry me in front of people? That's not the gesture that we ever see.
I mean, when I emceed for the Hops doing those events, it was more so, and I assume this is just how it works at like a Mariners game too. It was like, you know, whoever got chosen for the game, there was either somebody that knew beforehand that there was going to be a special day.
Yeah.
And this was kind of.
That's what I'm saying. How much do we think? Was that?
I don't think like, they had to pay extra for that, Rashad. Well, I don't think there's like a getting game? Married package.
Is it a Hops game? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but at a Mariners game, too, it's the same kind of deal where they got somebody running around, you know, T-Mobile Park doing a couple of games, you know, doing some fun events during, you know, breaks between innings. Like, that kind of event that could be used for that.
But usually somebody's getting paid for those events. There is a sponsor for each one of those events. So they're getting paid for being able to do that.
Yeah.
So if you're putting something on the Titantron, on the big screen.
Actually, I kind of like the name Titantron.
Well, that's a WWE, you know, for that's what they call their big screen, or at least they used to. But if you see something big on the Jumbotron, I'm sure it costs some type of money to get in there because you are interrupting the game for X amount of time. So the one thing sports shows is they're not very good about just giving stuff away for free.
I mean, they act like they are, but
yeah,
no,
they don't just give stuff away for free.
No, that's funny. Although I still see it happening, and I don't think there's money being exchanged there. I think it's just a situation where usually somebody knows somebody. It's maybe not payment, but there's a little nepotism going on there. Which, are you surprised? There's nepotism going on in all over our world, not just the world of sports.
Well, fellas, if you are going to propose to any ladies, don't do it at a game. I just feel like it's a bad sign.
If there's a connection, like you know, like we were saying, if there's the love of sports that brought you together, the love of that team that brought you together, I don't see a problem there. But other than that, it's. Gosh, I love sports, but that's just, that's a little cringeworthy. But what I do love about sports, other than proposals happening, is these Father's and Mother's Day celebrations. I mean, they do Veterans Day stuff. They bring in all the camo, especially Major League Baseball. And that's the cool thing about MLB is that it goes on all throughout, you know, the spring and summer. So they hit a lot of these holidays. On July 4th, they do, you know, American flag colors on all their stuff.
So I found something that says it's from, I'm not sure what this is from yet, but a study conducted by Betway, which analyzed the best valued arenas in which to become engaged, found that on average, the cost to propose at a basketball arena can run between average $300 and $1,000. This was published on December 6th of this past year.
Okay, and that makes sense because, you know, even like at a minor league baseball game for the Hops, they did charge for messages on the Jumbotron. And it's not surprising that, you know, heck, an NBA game, $300, that's not too bad.
I actually have it by arena.
I love it.
Yeah.
Give me the most expensive arena. Is it Madison Square Garden, Rashad?
the most expensive arena is not Madison Square
Garden.
Wow,
I'm
you might
shocked.
Be surprised, but you yeah, but you might not be as far as who is number one.
What I was going to say, Staples Crypto Arena.
No,
lay it on me.
Chase Center, home of the Golden State Warriors.
What
cost $964 to propose at Chase? Do you want to know how much it is to propose at the Moda Center? Well, let's see.
Like second most expensive. Bag on the Blazers a little bit here. Overcharging for
honestly,
not
it's,
much.
It's more expensive than a lot of people. It's more expensive than the Bucks. It's more expensive than the T-Wolves, than the Magic, than Atlanta.
You know, maybe when you trade a Dame to the maybe when you trade a Dame to the Bucks, you lower that price a little bit.
It's more expensive than the Heat.
Okay, that's so just funny.
It costs $472 if you'd like to propose to your hopefully significant at the
yeah, hopefully.
Center.
Hopefully she says yes.
So yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, happy Mother's Day out there, everybody. Yeah, like I was saying, that is one of my favorite days to watch games is Mother's Day or Father's Day or any of these kinds of events. But along with Mother's Day, Rashad, we've, of course, got the second round of the NBA playoffs. And oh my goodness, we were just talking off air before the show started. It's getting really interesting, especially compared to the first round. I've got something to say about the shooting, but let's get into why, Rashad, you think these second round games are more exciting. We've got a lot of other things to talk about. The Blazers possibly shadow firing Chauncey Billups. Is that what's going on? There was news about a couple of drive-by firings, so to speak, this week. And what I mean by drive-by firing is a couple of close guys are fired to the head coach. That is usually a message by the organization to the head coach. So we'll get into that. I would like to get into Caitlin Clark making her WNBA debut. Of course, the WNBA preseason started. There has been a huge argument amongst WNBA players about her talent coming into the league and whether or not she's going to transcend it. And I get that this happens with rookies, and you know, like LeBron kind of had the same treatment from NBA stars when he was coming into the league. I think, Rashad, you remember a Cleveland Cavaliers player saying that we got players on our roster that do more than what LeBron
does
right
now. The worst team in the league was saying that. Remember, LeBron went number one to that same team, so they were the worst team in the league.
Yeah, so I want to get into that and get into why WNBA players, honestly, on that point, need to shut their mouths and just accept Caitlin Clark's greatness. Even though I understand why they might have some angst, it's like this is a special situation here. You've got to ride the wave. We'll get into that. Should Rudy Gobert have missed game two against the Nuggets with a baby on the way? Yeah, I want to knock on his paternity leave. I can't believe a playoff game is missed by a guy making $40-plus million. So we'll get into that. We'll get into Jamal Murray not being suspended after throwing a heat pack. And the Brady roast last Sunday, we got so much to get to. But yeah, Rashad, we'll start in the NBA playoffs. A couple of game threes yesterday, super interesting. The Mavs and the Thunder and the Celtics and Cavaliers will break those down and get into why Rashad thinks that the second round is more exciting than the first round. No Joe Fisher today. He is out on special assignment down golfing in Central Oregon. He's having fun. So just Rashad and I messing around, talking sports, playing on the radio today. We'll get right back to it here on Sports Sunday on 1080. The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
You can hit us up on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6FAN. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after this sale. I know a couple of our very, very awesome 1080 The Fan personalities are Vancouver Ford customers. Of course, I always see Patrick's Ford Bronco out there, and Souk always seems to have a sexy new Ford, like, every 6 months or something. He was driving a Mach-E, and now he's, like, I don't know if he's just, like, taking an actual Mustang around the block because, like, they're fixing the Mach-E or something. But I saw a really fast GT now, like, out front, too. And I'm damn.
You can do that when you're number one.
Well, they really take care of him after the sale. But that's the cool thing about Vancouver Ford. They take care of you before, during, and after the sale, just like they would Souk. And it really, even just kind of being around them, talking to them, it's obvious that they do that. And, heck, I could be in the market for a new car soon. So
I mean, shoot. Go for it.
Well, my wife and I are in the process of selling our car right now. So that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like legitimately, I'm not just making this up for the ad. Kind of been trying to figure out where.
I was going to say, you're doing an awesome plug for them.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah. No, this is life. This is real life happening right now. And it has to do with what we're talking about on the station, which is Vancouver Ford. So, yeah, go see them. They'll take care of you before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. Lots of really awesome NBA action to get into, Rashad. Let's just dive right into this. A couple of game threes yesterday in the second round. I thought that it was a little slow to pick up action-wise in the first round. There seemed to be a lot of blowouts. Even still in the second round, maybe a couple of blowouts. But yesterday, it was definitely exciting. The Mavs actually taking a 2-1 series lead in Game 3 over the Thunder, 105-101, despite Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going for 31 points. He's been absolutely lit in the playoffs. He's one of the more, I hate using the word consistency when it comes to players, but he has been one of the players that has kind of been more consistent or showing up from game to game. That's kind of been my hang-up with the playoffs. Like, you see Chet Holmgren, you know, missing threes this game, but he hit a couple of last game. Like, I'm seeing players not doing what they usually do from game to game. And I know that it's, you know, showtime, it's the big, big stage. There's things happening, physicality, calls being made compared to calls not being made, Rashad. And we can talk about that kind of when we get into Jamal Murray, just the differences between like game 2 and 3 in that series with the Nuggets and Timberwolves. Oh my goodness. All of a sudden they got really chippy with the whistles after Jamal Murray didn't get booted out. But you see that spilling into other series as well. And I don't know if it's the players' talent themselves affecting this or if it is the inconsistent refereeing that we're seeing. But despite that, I do believe I watched most of the Dallas OKC game yesterday. I mean, that was a nice one. It was fun to see Luka Doncic just. I love watching when he, despite shooting terribly, which he does you know, at least 30% of the time, still manages to affect the stat sheet in every way, just like Nikola Jokic. I hate that he gets so much crap for being chubby. And along with Kyrie Irving, you know, I still never thought they should have let Jalen Brunson go, but I do think that they've formed quite the tandem in this year's playoffs. So tell me, Rashad, at least regarding Dallas and OKC, we'll break down the Boston game in just a second, what you thought about that game, why you see it being more exciting than the first round. Because I agree with you, brother.
No, I think just the first round is usually just full of one versus eights, you know, and eight that just had to play in the play-in.
And so
it's a good chance that eight is probably a 9 or 10 seed. So you're going to get some blowouts in the first round. You might get a game or two, you know, you might get a couple 5-game series, maybe 1-6 game series. But for the most part, it's pretty boring basketball to start, if I'm being honest. Get to the second round, and then all of a sudden you start seeing more complete teams, you know, like you're seeing with OKC, who was the number one seed, you know, in the Western Conference, like you're seeing with Dallas, who was a fifth seed. And there was a long time ago where the fifth seed was looked at as, well, bottom four of the playoffs, right? But now, considering that they've let in 9 and 10, you know, into the playoff picture, you want that fifth seed.
Yeah.
You probably, that's the lowest that I think most teams want to go, because you start getting to that sixth seed, and there's a chance that, you know, you're battling for seventh at some points. Like,
so changes the value.
A 5 seed is right around where I think most teams want to be comfortably, and that's Dallas. And, you know, the first game, OKC, and we've seen this from Dallas too, because remember, in the first game, who Dallas play last round? The Clippers. Clips got game one.
Yes.
First game of this series, OKC got game one. And then they come back out and be like, oh, okay, then you're seeing Dallas is ready to play all of a sudden. They got some dogs on this team. I absolutely love the way Kyrie Irving is playing right now. He's become a kind of a defensive leader on this team, if you've noticed. If you look at Kyrie's defense, he's getting in passing lanes. He's knocking away balls. He's getting steals. He's getting blocks. Like, he's not scoring what we're used to seeing Kyrie score, but we know he can. There's nothing offensively that Kyrie Irving can't do. To me, and I'll keep saying this, he's the most skilled player offensively in the league. Like, there's nobody that can do more with the basketball than Kyrie. And so, but I like the fact that he's kind of taking, and this is why I think Dallas is still really winning games, he's taking a step back from the offensive end and focusing on being an irritant on defense. And he's not taking as many shots. He was 10 for 17 yesterday. PJ Washington took the most shots from that Dallas team. So,
second game in a row with a lot of points.
Yeah, and that's why, yeah, let him cook. You know, Luka is going to be able to cook when he wants to. Even if he's not shooting well, he's going to make sure he gets to the line, 7 for 10 from free throw line, everything. So he's going to be able to get his buckets in one way or the other. I hate to say this, but I love to say it too, you know, because I'm a big James Harden guy. You know, I always kind of was. Like, I just, the way he played is like, I'm not mad at him, you know, in most cases. Sometimes 13 turnovers in a game, yes, yeah, you sucked. Like, there's certain things where, yes, you can point your finger and say, but for the most part, you look up his playoff numbers, pretty legit, you know, and I can't blame James Harden for what happened in the series against Dallas.
Well, like, no,
the
Clippers, Paul George missed a game.
Paul George wasn't great.
Missed Kawhi Leonard for like 3 games out. Like, no.
You know, and then thinking back to Brooklyn, like, Kyrie gets hurt. You were already kind of gimpy and walking around. Then Kevin Durant steps on the line. KD don't step on the line. They beat the Bucks in that series and kind of move on. And then we're talking much differently about him. But I say James Harden in the sense that his game isn't very fast, but it's effective. Sidestep jumper, step back jumper, be it the ability to get to the line, you know, showing the ball once he's driving to the rim to be able to create some contact. Like, those are all things that James Harden does, you know, very ball centric. So people kind of ask for him to get the ball out of his hands and stuff like that. So Luka is probably a more skilled James Harden. That's what he is at this point. Their games are almost absolutely similar. If you look at, you know, you put the side to side comparison, speed, all that stuff, it's absolutely similar. But I think Luka is, I don't want to say he's more of a leader. I don't want to say that's fair, because he still hasn't won anything either. I don't think Luka's been out of the second round yet. So, but this Dallas team, I'm thinking there's something a little bit different about them. And really the main thing is Kyrie committing to defense. And you're right about Shea. We've been spending a lot of these playoffs talking about Ant Edwards. Anthony Edwards is the guy. Anthony Edwards is the Jordan reincarnate. Like, Anthony Edwards, Anthony Edwards. But we forget Shea damn near averaged a triple-double. You know, Shea probably – I'm one of those people that feel like best player, best team, that's probably who should be the MVP. Like, if you get the best record in the league, which nobody expected the Thunder to do, and here's a guy that averaged 30 points, like – 10 assists, yeah, man, or 9 assists somewhere around there, something stupid. Yeah, I thought it should have been Shea. However, you know, I get how it works. But yeah, this team is, they're good, but they're still young. And I think still being young, they're not ready yet to play a team like Dallas, who's been here a couple times and have a couple champions on their team. So yeah, I think it's going to be an uphill battle, if I'm being real, for this Thunder squad.
I mean, they're young, and they are, when they shoot, they are super hard to beat. But that's the thing. When Holmgren's not hitting threes, when Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is the only one doing anything threes. For you.
I think Chet shoots too many threes.
Really?
I mean, his player comparison is like close to Wemby. Like, mind you, he's not as tall as Wemby. He's not 7 foot, say, 7 foot.
Not
going
to be as long, but he's got length. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got length. He's got long arms, long legs, man. Stay around the rim. Dominate there. Like, I don't get this whole thing with bigs wanting to shoot all the time. Why are you shooting that?
I mean, I hear you. That's the league that we're in. But and actually, to your point, I have noticed that on the Dallas side of things, to combat that, what I seem to see is like inconsistent shooting at the start of games, like all throughout the playoffs for all teams. One way Dallas has been combating that specifically is just been feeding Daniel Gafford at the beginning of games. He seems like an easy bet for the first basket right now, because I feel like every time I'm watching, it's like, oh, layup to Gafford to start the game. Oh, Gafford's got 6-8 points in the first quarter, because they're just kind of taking what they can get. And that's just kind of, you know, floating around the middle. The center is there for Dallas and able to score a few points before Luka gets going.
That's what it is.
It's a big difference.
It's you make them respect, you know, the inside game. You make them respect the back to the basket game. And then all of a sudden you're worried about Daniel Gafford being the one that beat you. And, that opens things up for Kyrie, and that opens things up for, you know, PJ Washington, who's just played outstanding so far in this playoff series for Dallas. So Dallas is, they're a sneaky good team. Nobody thinks they're going to win. Nobody thinks they're going to make it to the finals.
Yeah.
I mean, if Denver isn't in, we'll talk about them soon, but if they're not in, then why not Dallas?
Yeah, we got to get into Denver, that's for sure, because they play the T-Wolves today. I feel like Jamal Murray should have been suspended for Game 3 after the Heat Pack incident. Oh, my God, I'll tell you why in a sec. But really quickly, the other game yesterday, the Boston Celtics-Cleveland Cavaliers matchup in Game 3. Boston wins that on the road. They lead the series now 2-1. Another good game from Jason Tatum. Gotta say, he's not quite shaking off the no playoff Tatum moniker yet, but showing up, scoring 30 in the last, you know, out of the last two of the three series games, he's doing way better than we've ever seen him in the second round. I'm seeing some supporting cast guys stepping up when Drew Holiday's actually hitting shots, because he's basically been non-existent in the playoffs to this point. It's been Tatum, White, and Jaylen Brown. And now with no Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford's had to step up. They seem to be playing okay. I'm not sure that anybody is better than them in the Eastern Conference, but I will say these last couple of games in the series against Cleveland, they have started to look like the Boston team that maybe NBA fans think that they can look like.
Yeah, the Celtics are, you know, they're going to Celtics, so we'll see what happens as we get deeper into the playoffs, but they're playing against a bull right now, because that boy Spider, Donovan Mitchell, is putting on a show every single night. Really, he's had a 50-point game in the playoffs, and then he had 39, 33, 29, 33. So far, the Celtics can't do anything with him. They're hoping to God that he misses shots. And he went 12 for 22 yesterday, and that definitely didn't help. But, again, he only shot 3 free throws and ended the game with 33. Like, this dude is special, and, like, Boston's got their hands full right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if Cleveland can actually make any waves the rest of the series, but I like the way Boston's playing right now. I really don't think that Cleveland's going to beat them. It's going to be the finals. It's going to be the Eastern Conference Finals where they go down, if they do, but they're playing super well. All right, let's get out of the games from yesterday, and I don't really... New York and Indiana's awesome. You know, it's obviously a historic series, but what I really want to spend time focusing on in the next segment is Minnesota-Denver, and specifically Denver is down in that... Or no, I sorry, I keep flip-flopping.
Yeah,
Denver is down in that series 2-1. One of the reasons being the inconsistent shooting of Jamal Murray, and the focus on the incident during game two of his throwing a heat pack from the bench. Cannot believe that he wasn't suspended for that. I want to get into why. I want to get into the lack of attrition from him, lack of apology. I hate that star players really don't get held to account on this, Rashad. We see Jamal Murray not getting suspended, and then another player suspended four games for something, Pat Beverly, you know, doing that crappy interview in the locker room afterwards, you know, asking that person if they listen to his podcast. Nope, all right, you're not subscribed? Well, then I'm not talking to you, as well as throwing the ball at the fan during the Milwaukee series that they were just in. I mean, so you can throw a ball at a fan and get suspended, but you can throw an item onto a court in a game that's active and apparently not get suspended.
Anything that involves fans is going to involve a suspension.
Yeah, but the safety 100%. Of players is at stake here. And that's kind of what I want to debate, Rashad, is the obvious level of star player punishment that we're seeing here and how much it annoys me. We'll get into that right after a sports update. Actually, a Rashad and Schulte edition today of Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there.
Love you, Mom.
Yeah, expectant mothers, pet mothers.
Whoa.
No? You don't include that? It's a section in the greeting card area, so I include it. It's there, right?
Okay.
I mean, pet mothers, stepmothers, like gotta
say
them all.
It's not stepmothers and pet mothers aren't the. We're not gonna say they're the same, are we?
I'm not trying to say they're the same. I'm just
trying
to be
inclusive.
I think
you're trying to say that. No, I'm just kidding.
We get into a debate about this is the mother that should be recognized on Mother's Day. That would just be a D debate. That would just be a D move. Like, yeah. what kind of, who do you think you are? What kind of jackass do you think you are defining Mother's Day for other people? Especially you stupid man. Like, you're not even a mother. I can hear the complaints.
It's crazy when
I
talk to people and they were like, oh, do you have kids? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, how about you? I have three dogs. Like, that's
like, that doesn't count.
Is that a kid? Like, what are you talking about?
I think in the sense of Mother's Day, like getting a card, celebrating somebody that, you know, has pets is fine. But the constant, I totally hear what you're saying, Rashad, the constant reminder that, oh, I'm a mother. Like, we or the couple that has pets and they're like, oh, our beautiful kids. Talking about your two dogs.
I want all of our single dads to stand up today. Like, you know, seriously, the way Father's Day has always been hijacked from us. Fellas, I say we do it. Luckily, you know, I love my mom, man. So I love all the moms in my life. And
I need the Maury, you are not the father clip ready to go. Oh, and I just don't have it.
Oh, dang. I'm pretty sure that's an easy find, though.
You are not the father. Woo! Woo!
That's a great show.
Oh, man.
That's a great show. That's a guilty pleasure of mine, and I don't even care.
That was my guilty pleasure during just any daytime, like off of school as a kid into my formative teenage years. A lot of that time just wasted during the day was spent watching the Maury Povich show.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think Steve Wilkos came on after him for a bit, so.
Didn't like Steve, though.
Well, I didn't like much about Jerry Springer, so. If you're not familiar,
early
he was
Jerry
the,
Springer
yeah,
was awesome.
Well, because that was like the more authentic Jerry Springer before
early
it started
Jerry
getting
Springer
gratuitous.
Was awesome.
It was almost like wrestling at that point, like real wrestling.
Yeah, you came on there for action. You came on there to fight. There was no talking things out. You know, they had some pretty bizarre guests on there. I actually worked with a guy when I was at it's now Providence Park. Wait, is this, Providence Park still?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when it was PGE Park.
Yeah, it's PGE, gelled when, it's been like four different things.
Yeah, so when
Providence
it was,
Park.
When it was that and the Beavers were playing there, you know, so the baseball team. And so I was working there and I worked with a guy who had been on Jerry Springer three times.
Wait, like as a
guest.
Oh my God. And spill this tea.
And then he happened to be one of my best friend's cousins. She told me, she was like, oh yeah, my cousin's been on there three times. And it was like, he said he worked with you at the baseball stadium. I was like, what? Like, he does? What? He told me who it was. And I was like, holy hell, that's your cousin? And then I start looking. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. You were definitely on the show. And he told me about it and everything. This is before YouTube, so I couldn't just go look it up. I had to wait for it to come on TV. Like, it came
wait for a rerun.
Yeah, it came on, like, G4 one night, you know, as I was watching that. Yeah, right? And, yeah, here's the cool part. He was, the whole time, he was stealing from the... from PGE when we were working there. So I said, you know, we're doing concessions, so I'm watching. It's like, oh, you just, it's really taking the money? And I wasn't going to, I was going to say something until he gave me like $30. And then I was like,
well, I can't say anything now. I'm an accomplice. Okay. Wait, is that why he was on Jerry Springer? Was it like one of their like.
No, it was his boyfriend was cheating with someone else and, or vice versa. I think he might've been cheating with someone's boyfriend, something along those lines.
And it was really happening. It was this wasn't just like a created storyline.
No, it was really happening. Oh, they went on there. They really fought. Like it was, I had so many questions for him. So I spent like most of the summer just asking some questions about Jerry Springer.
I want to spend the rest of this segment asking questions about Jerry Springer.
I can probably bring him in one day.
Want
some Jerry Springer questions? Yeah, I can probably do that. He's still around. I see him all the time. We always, you know, shake hands. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm just going down like guilty pleasure memory lane right now. Because, yeah, I will never forget the, I don't know, just... absolute mashup of madness. And I want to avoid being rude because some of those people I think really were going through some hard times.
Some real life in between there because
yeah,
according to him it was a real situation and it got real ugly at a point and it was like, oh, okay,
that's and those shows were basically there to take advantage of that. But then to make matters worse, they would also just go create fake situations, you know, between other people. Because you saw, gosh, I still remember seeing these, like, on Craigslist or Backdoor. Oh, $300 for an appearance on a well-known daytime television show. Do you have a problem with your significant other? Do you think they're cheating? I'm like, oh, God. Yeah. Like, this is bad.
Yeah, they gotta push ratings somehow.
You mean like the NBA's got to push ratings and keep Jamal Murray on the court that?
If it means Anthony Edwards gets to look like a bigger star, they're projecting this guy to be Jordan. So clearly,
you're not wrong.
You know, they're looking for the highest ratings for Anthony Edwards, and not having Jamal Murray on the floor is a problem. Like let's be honest. There was a lot in that game. And I know we have to break. We're against it, you know. So
yeah, we kind of wasted the segment talking about daytime trash
so
TV.
So we should probably come back to it.
No, let's do that. Yeah, let's take a break. We'll get on the clock again and come back into the Jamal Murray debate. Why I think that he absolutely should have been suspended. I'm sure a lot of people agree with me, but there are the others that say, hey, the NBA is going to keep its star players on the court no matter what. That's what you're pointing out, Rashad. And I want to dive into that. It just irks me. This is one of the biggest problems I have with the world of sports, and that's just hypocrisy in general. I really want the rules to be applied equally, because then we could all actually see these shining examples that we elevate as leaders of our societies, as, you know, role models to our young kids. And I know this sounds a little soapboxy, but this is why it pisses me off. And I want to dive into that. I know that all happens, but the hypocrisy is outstanding. So let's get into the NBA's hypocrisy surrounding Jamal Murray, since this segment just got derailed by trash TV talk. But I love it. That's okay. We'll get into the Jamal Murray debate next year on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan. Actually, a Schultzy and Shot edition of Sports Sunday here on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher enjoying some golf in Central Oregon, and somebody that I think also should have been enjoying some golf during the last game of the Nuggets Timberwolves series, well, that would be point guard Jamal Murray. So if you've been living under a rock, or you just really happened to be, you know, out of sight, out of mind this last week, there was an incident in the series between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. Monday night, Denver Nuggets guard Jamal Murray threw a heat pack and a towel, essentially. It was kind of like a combination of the two wrapped up together, but the heat pack gave it some weight, kind of makes it dangerous. He threw it onto the court, essentially, during a game as there was a layup attempting to be made, and then a foul was called. But right at that point, as the foul was called, the Nuggets bench did not like that. Jamal Murray, essentially, almost at the end of the bench, kind of as you're getting close to the tunnel, so not really obvious to see, chucked this heat pack onto the court in anger. And I would say shockingly, surprisingly, but I think there are a lot of others out there that would say not shockingly, the Nuggets point guard was not suspended, just fined by the NBA $100,000 for said incident. Now, Rashad, that allowed the Nuggets to come back in their next game. Of course, they do play game 4 against the Timberwolves today. They are down in that series 2-1, but they came back with Jamal Murray basically leading the charge, going 11 of 21, 2 of 5 from three-point land to beat the Timberwolves 117-90. It's obvious what's happening here, that the NBA wants its star players on the court. It does not want its reigning NBA champion to be swept in the second round of the NBA playoffs, so they will do whatever it takes to keep that from happening, and that means not handing out a punishment, in my opinion, to a player that is obvious. I mean, we brought it up earlier in the hour. You can go podcast it anywhere you get your podcast here on Sports Sunday. Patrick Beverley suspended for 4 games for his ass remark to a reporter and throwing a ball into the stands. And you're right, Rashad. You said it at the time, and I'm sure you're going to expand on this, that throwing stuff into the fans' area where they're sitting in the stands out of the court is going to get you some serious time. But to that point of safety, you would think that while a game is going on, and not just any game, not a regular season game, a playoff game, where if somebody got injured and slipped on that, I mean, the implications could be dire. And I know I'm getting a little crazy there, but seriously, if somebody slips and falls on that, or it does cause an issue where it does affect the game, where a point should have been scored and it wasn't, or vice versa, and both coaches are just at each other, that's some major issues, man. I don't understand why that is not equivalent to what a Patrick Beverley did. Let's just say he got a game for the reporter interaction and 3 games for the ball being thrown to the stands. Why do you not give Jamal Murray the exact same punishment for doing something, in my opinion, much more egregious?
Well, I mean, because he didn't hit a fan, or because he didn't throw it at a fan, that's why it wasn't much more egregious. You're looking at a dude in Jamal Murray who's kind of been a choir boy, you know, in the NBA thus far, you know, doesn't cause any trouble. Everybody kind of, you know, latched onto him last year during his amazing playoff run that eventually, you know, led to a championship. Like, Jamal Murray is one of the good guys of the league, right? And he was getting his ass kicked in game 2. That's just straight up and down. He was getting his ass kicked
throughout the playoffs. Yeah.
No, I think there was points where he was great. The against the Lakers, he was phenomenal. Obviously,
he hit that game-winning shot.
2 game-winning shots.
Yeah, but after a really bad performance shooting-wise.
But still was able to come through down the stretch for all those games that they were able to win. You know, so Jamal Murray, whether he scored, you know, 12 points or 28 points, you know, in those games, it was when he did it. And I think that's the important thing about the playoffs. But there was a lot of times, this is on the refs. This is the refs completely swallowed their whistle for all that game. Before that, in the first quarter, Michael Malone storms onto the court, gets in the referee's face, all type of expletives were yelled, you know, at the ref. And there was not even a technical. I was expecting an ejection, not even a technical. So they let that part go. Then you have the thing with Jamal Murray. He's frustrated. He's all these things. He's doing stupid fouls. He's turning the ball over multiple times. He was frustrated. I don't think he meant to. Well, I don't know. I hope he didn't mean to throw it on the floor. I don't know if he just meant to, like, throw it towards something. Either way, it was dumb. And, yeah, he should have been ejected. But, again, you're not going to eject one of your best players on Denver, just pretty much guaranteeing that they're not going to win that game or the next couple games, because he would probably have missed the next game.
I mean, you did notice that they called game 2 after that much more tight than they did game 1. It seemed like game 1 kind of just allowing whatever the hell they
or game
wanted.
Game 3?
Well, it was game 1 that this incident happened initially. So,
was it?
Yeah. Monday night. Yeah, Monday night was game 1.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was game 2. Either way, you know, it didn't help. It didn't really help matters if it was game one, because game two, they came out and got their ass whooped even more, you know, than they did in night one. But this is what championships teams do. They rebound. And the Nuggets were able to come out the next night or the next game and completely obliterate this young T-Wolves team. So I still think Minnesota can win the series, but I also think Denver might have maybe figured out what they were supposed to be doing. Like the first couple games, they don't start fast.
No,
none of these games they've started fast. Actually, game three was the first game that Denver started faster than normal. And what do you know? It resulted in a win. You know, so when they get behind, like the Lakers just didn't have enough to hold on at the end. Like the Lakers would build these 12, 13, 14 point leads and then figure out a way to trick them, you know, halfway through the third quarter. Denver needs to learn how to get the lead early and hang on to it and build on it, because otherwise they get down to this Minnesota team. I don't know if their bench is deep enough to be able to compete with theirs.
I mean, Minnesota, if Karl-Anthony Towns ain't in foul trouble and he's scoring 20 a game, and he doesn't even have to shoot well at that point. They've got a complete team. We've talked about it all playoffs. It's kind of the roster that the Suns and the Lakers wish that they had. And with Anthony Edwards kind of having his coming out party, essentially, in this playoffs, you're wondering, can they actually be beat in the Western Conference? And unless Denver, I mean, they shot a lot better in Game 3 than they have pretty much, I think, the entire playoffs. They shot almost 50% from three, but they also stomped the Timberwolves. It was pretty much a defeat the whole way for Minnesota, and they had their bench guys in by, I think, 4 to 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Which I absolutely love by Chris Finch. This game is over.
Yeah, so yeah, rest your guys. Yeah,
come sit down. We got another game. Don't even stress about it. They got one. We got two on theirs. Everybody come sit down. That's a page out of the Greg Popovich playoff, you know, scoring or playoff basketball.
Well, do we need more Pop influence? He's not in the playoffs, right?
I think we do. I don't think we have enough Pop influence, which is why basketball looks the way it looks now.
No, that's fair. All right, that's pretty fair. But basketball looking the way that it looks now, in my opinion, very hypocritical. I cannot stand the fact that Jamal Murray was not suspended. I understand that nothing did happen, and of course that if something happened, a player got injured or something like that, something was affected, the game was affected points-wise, then definitely, or the refs had to step in to keep that from happening. It definitely would have been a much bigger punishment. A $100,000 fine is nothing for the dude. That's like, what, $5 to you and I?
Well, hey man,
Drake, it's literally not even a slap on the wrist.
Drake has got all the boys from Canada looking crazy right now. So that's what it is. Jamal Murray is just, you know, hey man, don't be that guy. Don't be that sensitive guy right now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgambling.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Actually, a Rashad and Schulte edition today of Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there.
Love you, Mom.
Yeah, expectant mothers, pet mothers.
Whoa.
No? You don't include that? It's a section in the greeting card area, so I include it. It's there, right?
Okay.
I mean, pet mothers, stepmothers, like, gotta say them all.
Well, it's not stepmothers and pet mothers, aren't they? We're not gonna say they're the same, are we?
I'm not trying to say they're the same. I'm just
trying
to be inclusive.
I think you're trying to say that. No, I'm just kidding.
We get into a debate about, this is the mother that should be recognized on Mother's Day. That would just be a D debate. That would just be a D move. Like, yeah. what kind of, who do you think you are? What kind of jackass do you think you are defining Mother's Day for other people? Especially you stupid man. Like, you're not even a mother. I can hear the
like,
complaints.
It's crazy when
right
I talk
now.
To people and they were like, oh, do you have kids? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, how about you? I have three dogs. Like, that's
like, that doesn't count.
Is that a kid? Like, what are you talking about?
I think in the sense of Mother's Day, like getting a card, celebrating somebody that, you know, has pets is fine. But the constant, I totally hear what you're saying, Rashad, the constant reminder that, oh, I'm a mother. Like, we, or the couple that has pets and they're like, oh, our beautiful kids. Talking about your two dogs.
I want all of our single dads to stand up today. Like, you know, seriously, the way Father's Day has always been hijacked from us. Fellas, I say we do it. Luckily, you know, I love my mom, man. So I love all the moms in my life. And
I need the Maury, you are not the father clip ready to go. Oh, I just don't have it.
Oh, dang. I'm pretty sure that's an easy find, though.
You are not the father. Woo! Woo!
Great show.
Oh, man.
That's a great show. That's a guilty pleasure of mine, and I don't even care.
That was my guilty pleasure during just any daytime, like off of school as a kid, into my formative teenage years. A lot of that time just wasted during the day was spent watching the Maury Povich show. Yeah. And I don't know, I think Steve Wilkos came on after him for a bit, so.
Didn't like Steve, though.
Well, I didn't like much about Jerry Springer, so. Mm. If you're not familiar,
early
he was
Jerry
the,
Springer was
yeah,
awesome.
Well, because that was like the more authentic Jerry yeah, Springer before it started
Jerry
getting
Springer
gratuitous.
Was awesome.
It was almost like wrestling at that point, like real wrestling.
Yeah, you came on there for action. You came on there to fight. There was no talking things out. You know, they had some pretty bizarre guests on there. I actually worked with a guy when I was at what's now Providence Park. Wait, mm-hmm. Is this, we have Providence Park still?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when it was PGE Park.
Yeah, it's PGE, gelled when, it's been like four different
yeah,
things.
So yeah, so
Providence
it was,
Park.
When it was that and the Beavers were playing there, you know, so the baseball team. And so I was working there and I worked with a guy who had been on Jerry Springer three times.
Wait, like as a
guest.
Oh my God.
And,
spill this tea.
And then he happened to be one of my best friend's cousins. She told me, she was like, oh yeah, my cousin's been on there three times. And it was like, he said he worked with you at the baseball stadium. I was like, what? Like, he does? What? He told me who it was. And I was like, holy hell, that's your cousin? And then I start looking. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. You were definitely on the show. And he told me about it and everything. This is before YouTube, so I couldn't just go look it up. I had to wait for it to come on TV. Like, it came on, like,
for a rerun.
Yeah, it came on, like, G4 one night, you know, as I was watching that. Yeah, right? And, yeah, here's the cool part. He was the whole time, he was stealing from the from PGE when we were working there. So I said, you know, we're doing concessions, so I'm watching. I was like, oh, you just, it's really taking the money? And I wasn't going to say something until he gave me
like $30. And then I was like,
well, I can't say anything now. I'm an accomplice. Okay. Wait, is that why he was on Jerry Springer? Was it like
No, it was his boyfriend was cheating with someone else and or vice versa. I think he might have been cheating with someone's boyfriend, something along those lines.
And it was really happening. This wasn't just like a created storyline.
No, it was really happening. Oh, they went on there. They really fought. Like it was. I had so many questions for him. So I spent like most of the summer just asking questions about Jerry Springer.
I want to spend the rest of this segment asking questions about Jerry Springer.
I can probably bring him in one day.
Want some
Jerry Springer questions? Yeah, I can probably do that. He's still around. I see him all the time. We always, you know, shake hands. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm just going down like guilty pleasure memory lane right now. Because, yeah, I will never forget the, I don't know, just absolute mashup of madness. And I want to avoid being rude because some of those people I think really were going through some hard times.
Some real life in between there, because
yeah,
according to him it was a real situation and it got real ugly at a point and it was like, oh, okay,
that's and those shows were basically there to take advantage of that. But then to make matters worse, they would also just go create fake situations, you know, between other people. Because I still remember seeing these like on Craigslist or Backdoor. Oh, $300 for an appearance on a well-known daytime television show. Do you have a problem with your significant other? Do you think they're cheating? I'm like, oh God, like this is bad.
Yeah, they gotta push ratings somehow.
You mean like the NBA's got to push ratings and keep Jamal Murray on the court that?
If it means Anthony Edwards gets to look like a bigger star, they're projecting this guy to be Jordan. So clearly,
you're not wrong.
You know, they're looking for the highest ratings for Anthony Edwards, and not having Jamal Murray on the floor is a problem. Like let's be honest. There was a lot in that game. And I know we have to break. We're against it, you know. So
yeah, we kind of wasted the segment talking about daytime trash TV.
So we should probably come back to it.
No, let's do that. Yeah, let's take a break. We'll get on the clock again and come back into the Jamal Murray debate. Why I think that he absolutely should have been suspended, I'm sure a lot of people agree with me. But there are the others that say, hey, the NBA is going to keep its star players on the court no matter what. That's what you're pointing out, Rashad. And I want to dive into that. It just irks me. This is one of the biggest problems I have with the world of sports, and that's just hypocrisy in general. I really want the rules to be applied equally, because then we could all actually see these shining examples that we elevate as leaders of our societies, as, you know, role models to our young kids. And I know this sounds a little soapboxy, but this is why it pisses me off, and I want to dive into that. I know that all happens, but the hypocrisy is outstanding. So let's get into the NBA's hypocrisy surrounding Jamal Murray, since this segment just got derailed by trash TV talk. But I love it. That's okay. We'll get into the Jamal Murray debate next year on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan. Actually, a Schultzy and Shot edition of Sports Sunday here on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher enjoying some golf in Central Oregon, and somebody that I think also should have been enjoying some golf during the last game of the Nuggets Timberwolves series, well, that would be point guard Jamal Murray. So if you've been living under a rock, or you just really happened to be, you know, out of sight, out of mind this last week, there was an incident in the series between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. Monday night, Denver Nuggets guard Jamal Murray threw a heat pack and a towel, essentially. It was kind of like a combination of the two wrapped up together, but the heat pack gave it some weight, kind of makes it dangerous. He threw it onto the court, essentially, during a game as there was a layup attempting to be made, and then a foul was called. But right at that point, as the foul was called, the Nuggets bench did not like that. Jamal Murray, essentially, almost at the end of the bench, kind of as you're getting close to the tunnel, so not really obvious to see, chucked this heat pack onto the court in anger. And I would say shockingly, surprisingly, but I think there are a lot of others out there that would say not shockingly, the Nuggets point guard was not suspended, just fined by the NBA $100,000 for said incident. Now, Rashad, that allowed the Nuggets to come back in their next game. Of course, they do play game 4 against the Timberwolves today. They are down in that series 2-1, but they came back with Jamal Murray basically leading the charge, going 11 of 21, 2 of 5 from three-point land to beat the Timberwolves 117-90. It's obvious what's happening here. that the NBA wants its star players on the court. It does not want its reigning NBA champion to be swept in the second round of the NBA playoffs, so they will do whatever it takes to keep that from happening, and that means not handing out a punishment, in my opinion, to a player that is obvious. I mean, we brought it up earlier in the hour. You can go podcast it anywhere you get your podcast here on Sports Sunday. Patrick Beverley suspended for 4 games for his ass remark to a reporter and throwing a ball into the stands. And you're right, Rashad. You said it at the time, and I'm sure you're going to expand on this, that throwing stuff into the fans' area where they're sitting in the stands out of the court is going to get you some serious time. But to that point of safety, you would think that while a game is going on, and not just any game, not a regular season game, a playoff game, where if somebody got injured and slipped on that, I mean, the implications could be dire. And I know I'm getting a little crazy there, but seriously, if somebody slips and falls on that, or it does cause an issue where it does affect the game, where a point should have been scored and it wasn't, or vice versa, and both coaches are just at each other, that's some major issues, man. I don't understand why that is not equivalent to what a Patrick Beverley did. Let's just say he got a game for the reporter interaction and 3 games for the ball being thrown to the stands. Why do you not give Jamal Murray the exact same punishment for doing something, in my opinion, much more egregious?
Well, I mean, because he didn't hit a fan, or because he didn't throw it at a fan, that's why it wasn't much more egregious. You're looking at a dude in Jamal Murray who's kind of been a choir boy, you know, in the NBA thus far, you know, doesn't cause any trouble. Everybody kind of, you know, latched onto him last year during his amazing playoff run that eventually, you know, led to a championship. Like, Jamal Murray is one of the good guys of the league, right? And he was getting his ass kicked in Game 2. That's just straight up and down. He was getting his ass kicked
throughout the playoffs. Yeah.
No, I think there was points where he was great. The against the Lakers, he was phenomenal, obviously. I mean,
he hit that game-winning shot.
Two game-winning shots.
Yeah, you know, but after a really bad performance, you know, shooting-wise.
But still was able to come through down the stretch for all those games that they were able to win, you know. So Jamal Murray, whether he scored, you know, 12 points or 28 points, you know, in those games, it was when he did it. And I think that's the important thing about the playoffs. But there was a lot of times, this is on the refs. This is the refs completely swallowed their whistle for all that game. Before that, in the first quarter, Michael Malone storms onto the court, gets in the referee's face, all type of expletives were yelled, you know, at the ref. And there was not even a technical. I was expecting an ejection, not even a technical. So they let that part go. Then you have the thing with Jamal Murray. He's frustrated. He's all these things. He's doing stupid fouls. He's turning the ball over multiple times. He was frustrated. I don't think he meant to. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I hope he didn't mean to throw it on the floor. I think I don't know if he just meant to, like, throw it towards something. Either way, it was dumb. And, yeah, he should have been ejected. But, again, you're not going to eject one of your best players on Denver, just pretty much guaranteeing that they're not going to win that game or the next couple games, because he would probably have missed the next game.
I mean, you did notice that they called Game 2 after that much more tight than they did Game 1. It seemed like Game 1 kind of just allowing whatever the hell they
or game
wanted.
Game 3?
Well, it was Game 1 that this incident happened initially. So,
was it?
Yeah. Monday night. Yeah, Monday night was Game 1.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was Game 2. Either way, you know, it didn't help. It didn't really help matters if it was Game 1, because Game 2, they came out and got their ass whooped even more, you know, than they did in Night 1. But this is what championships teams do. They rebound. And the Nuggets were able to come out the next night or the next game and completely obliterate this young T-Wolves team. So I still think Minnesota can win the series, but I also think Denver might have maybe figured out what they were supposed to be doing. Like, the first couple games, they don't start fast.
No, they
none of
not.
These games they've started fast. Actually, Game 3 was the
fair
first
point.
Game that Denver started faster than normal, and what
oh,
do you know,
bad.
It,
yeah.
it resulted in a win.
Yeah.
You know, so when they get behind, like, the Lakers just didn't have enough to hold on at the end. Like, the Lakers would build these 12, 13, 14 point leads and then figure out a way to trick them, you know, halfway through the third quarter. Denver needs to learn how to get the lead early and hang on to it and build on it, because otherwise they get down to this Minnesota team. I don't know if their bench is deep enough to be able to compete with theirs.
I mean, Minnesota, if Carl Anthony Towns ain't in foul trouble and he's scoring 20 a game, and he doesn't even have to shoot well at that point. They've got a complete team. We've talked about it all playoffs. It's kind of the roster that the Suns and the Lakers wish that they had. And with Anthony Edwards kind of having his coming out party, essentially, in this playoffs, you're wondering, can they actually be beat in the Western Conference? And unless Denver, I mean, they shot a lot better in Game 3 than they have pretty much, I think, the entire playoffs. They shot almost 50% from three, but they also stomped the Timberwolves. It was pretty much a defeat the whole way for Minnesota, and they had their bench guys in by, I think, 4 to 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Which I absolutely love by Chris Finch. This game is over.
Yeah, so yeah, rest your guys. Yeah,
come sit down. We got another game. Don't even stress about it. They got one. We got two on theirs. Everybody come sit down. That's a page out of the Greg Popovich playoff, you know, scoring or playoff basketball.
Well, do we need more Pop influence? He's not in the playoffs, right?
I think we do. I don't think we have enough Pop influence, which is why basketball looks the way it looks now.
No, that's fair. All right. That's pretty fair. But basketball looking the way that it looks now, in my opinion, very hypocritical. I cannot stand the fact that Jamal Murray was not suspended. I understand that nothing did happen, and of course that if something happened, a player got injured or something like that, something was affected, the game was affected points-wise, then definitely, or the refs had to step in to keep that from happening, it definitely would have been a much bigger punishment. A $100,000 fine is nothing for the dude. That's like, what, $5 to you and I?
Well, hey man,
Drake, it's literally not even a slap on the wrist.
Drake has got all the boys from Canada looking crazy right now. So that's what it is. Jamal Murray is just... You know, hey, man, don't be that guy. Don't be that sensitive guy right now.
I just hate it. I can't stand it. Punish the dude. He did something stupid. And
yeah, he's not going to get punished.
No.
Like, it is what it is at this point. Now, if you're the Timberwolves, you just have to go out there and try to kick ass again. And if you're the Nuggets, you got to go out there and show the games 1 and 2 were a fluke.
I mean, if he would have apologized after, because I don't know if you heard his comments after the fact that he found out he was just fined and not suspended, but he's just like, yep, moving on, looking forward. Like, Jamal, apologize, dude. Don't be a D. You avoided a big suspension here. You avoided a big punishment. Be like, you know what?
It is what it is.
Yeah, that was...
I got to get fined and apologize? No, I think the fine is my apology. I'm good.
No, the fine is the punishment. Yeah. The fine is not
the
apology.
Now, if somebody got hurt, I'm sure he would have apologized.
Oh, my God.
You know, but nobody got hurt, so no harm, no foul. That's that old adage.
But in a situation where somebody could have gotten hurt, yeah, I'll probably do that again and just be a D. Like, come on.
I mean, I'm sure at that point he'd be like, no, I won't do that. Hindsight being 2020, won't do that again. But no, since nobody got hurt, he got fine. We're on to Cincinnati.
I'll take the hindsight's 2020 cheesy apology over the well,
you'd want an apology that's not genuine? Because that's what it wouldn't have been genuine. Like, so just, take the
No,
fine.
You're right. I want him to be genuine, and if he's not, I think he's a D-bag. So yeah. I just think he's being a
that's
D-bag.
What he, that's what, yeah, I think that's what it is at this point, you know? So you can tell a lot about how people are when they're in these losing situations.
You're not wrong.
It brings up a lot of things that we don't see. When you're winning, it's very easy to see all the great things. But when you're losing, that's why I love Steph. Steph losing wasn't, like, pouty. In most cases, it wasn't, you know, blaming other people.
He's
it wasn't
level.
Like, man, we're not good right now, you know. So
he complains.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure
like
he complained
Chris
in the locker
Paul
room.
Or,
I'm sure in all the places he's supposed to in the locker room at practice, all those things. I'm sure he complained and got on guys' ass and everything. But do some guys are just, you know, just take the good with the bad a lot of times, and we're gonna see a lot of how. You know, we're going to see a lot about how Denver responds after, like I said, two shellackings in game one and game two. We see they came back in game three. Let's see if they can do it again.
All right. Well, we got game four tonight, 5 o'clock on TNT. The Timberwolves hosting the Nuggets. See if they can tie up the series. Before that, though, the Knicks and Pacers at 12:30 for their game four matchup. The Knicks lead that series 2-1. They will try to take a 3-1 series lead on the road. Indiana, though, a 5.5-point favorite. All right, let's switch gears from NBA playoff talk to some local talk. The Portland Trail Blazers and what seems to be more drama happening at One Center Court. Are they shadow firing Chauncey Billups? And what the heck is going on in the front office right now. We got to get into this to start the second hour of Sports Sunday. No Joe Fisher. It's a Schulte Shot edition of Sports Sunday here on 1080 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Actually, a Schulte and Shot edition of Sports Sunday here on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher enjoying some golf in Central Oregon. And somebody that I think also should have been enjoying some golf during the last game of the Nuggets Timberwolves series, well, that would be point guard Jamal Murray. So if you've been living under a rock, or you just really happened to be, you know, out of sight, out of mind this last week, there was an incident in the series between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. Monday night, Denver Nuggets guard Jamal Murray threw a heat pack and a towel, essentially. It was kind of like a combination of the two wrapped up together, but the heat pack gave it some weight, kind of makes it dangerous. He threw it onto the court, essentially, during a game as there was a layup attempting to be made, and then a foul was called. But right at that point, as the foul was called, the Nuggets bench did not like that. Jamal Murray, essentially, almost at the end of the bench, kind of as you're getting close to the tunnel, so not really obvious to see, chucked this heat pack onto the court in anger. And I would say shockingly, surprisingly, but I think there are a lot of others out there that would say not shockingly, the Nuggets point guard was not suspended, just fined by the NBA $100,000 for said incident. Now, Rashad, that allowed the Nuggets to come back in their next game. Of course, they do play game 4 against the Timberwolves today. They are down in that series 2-1, but they came back with Jamal Murray basically leading the charge, going 11 of 21, 2 of 5 from three-point land to beat the Timberwolves 117-90. It's obvious what's happening here, that the NBA wants its star players on the court. It does not want its reigning NBA champion to be swept in the second round of the NBA playoffs, so they will do whatever it takes to keep that from happening, and that means not handing out a punishment, in my opinion, to a player that is obvious. I mean, we brought it up earlier in the hour. You can go podcast it anywhere you get your podcast here on Sports Sunday. Patrick Beverley suspended for 4 games for his ass remark to a reporter and throwing a ball into the stands. And you're right, Rashad. You said it at the time, and I'm sure you're going to expand on this, that throwing stuff into the fans' area where they're sitting in the stands out of the court is going to get you some serious time. But to that point of safety, you would think that while a game is going on, and not just any game, not a regular season game, a playoff game, where if somebody got injured and slipped on that, I mean, the implications could be dire. And I know I'm getting a little crazy there, but seriously, if somebody slips and falls on that, or it does cause an issue where it does affect the game, where a point should have been scored and it wasn't, or vice versa, and both coaches are just at each other, that's some major issues, man. I don't understand why that is not equivalent to what a Patrick Beverley did. Let's just say he got a game for the reporter interaction and three games for the ball being thrown to the stands. Why do you not give Jamal Murray the exact same punishment for doing something, in my opinion, much more egregious?
Well, I mean, because he didn't hit a fan, or because he didn't throw it at a fan, that's why it wasn't much more egregious. You're looking at a dude in Jamal Murray who's kind of been a choir boy, you know, in the NBA thus far, you know, doesn't cause any trouble. Everybody kind of, you know, latched onto him last year during his amazing playoff run that eventually, you know, led to a championship. Like, Jamal Murray is one of the good guys of the league, right? And he was getting his ass kicked in game two. That's just straight up and down. He was getting his ass kicked
throughout the playoffs. Yeah.
No, he. I mean, I think there was points where he was great. The against the Lakers, he was phenomenal. Obviously, I mean,
he hit that game-winning shot.
Two game-winning shots.
Yeah, but after a really bad performance shooting-wise.
But no, but still was able to come through down the stretch for all those games that they were able to win. You know, so Jamal Murray, whether he scored, you know, 12 points or 28 points, you know, in those games, it was when he did it. And I think that's the important thing about the playoffs. But there was a lot of times, this is on the refs. This is the refs completely swallowed their whistle for all that game. Before that, in the first quarter, Michael Malone storms onto the court, gets in the referee's face, all type of expletives were yelled, you know, at the ref. And there was not even a technical. I was expecting an ejection, not even a technical. So they let that part go. Then you have the thing with Jamal Murray. He's frustrated. He's all these things. He's doing stupid fouls. He's turning the ball over multiple times. He was frustrated. I don't think he meant to. Well, I don't know. I hope he didn't mean to throw it on the floor. I think I don't know if he just meant to, like, throw it towards something. Either way, it was dumb. And, yeah, he should have been ejected. But, again, you're not going to eject one of your best players on Denver, just pretty much guaranteeing that they're not going to win that game or the next couple games, because he would probably have missed the next game.
I mean, you did notice that they called game two after that much more tight than they did game one. It seemed like game one kind of just allowing whatever the hell they
or game
wanted.
Three?
Well, it was game one that this incident happened initially. So,
was it?
Yeah. Monday night. Yeah, Monday night was game one.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was game two. Either way, you know, it didn't help. It didn't really help matters if it was game one, because game two, they came out and got their ass whooped even more, you know, than they did in night one. But this is what championships teams do. They rebound. And the Nuggets were able to come out the next night or the next game and completely obliterate this young T-Wolves team. So I still think Minnesota can win the series, but I also think Denver might have maybe figured out what they were supposed to be doing. Like, the first couple games, they don't start fast.
None of these
games they've started fast. Actually, game three was the
Fair
first
point.
Game that Denver started faster than normal. And what
oh,
do you know?
Bad.
It resulted in a win.
Yeah.
You know, so when they get behind, like, the Lakers just didn't have enough to hold on at the end. Like, the Lakers would build these 12, 13, 14 point leads and then figure out a way to trick them, you know, halfway through the third quarter. Denver needs to learn how to get the lead early and hang on to it and build on it, because otherwise they get down to this Minnesota team. I don't know if their bench is deep enough to be able to compete with theirs.
I mean, Minnesota, if Karl-Anthony Towns ain't in foul trouble and he's scoring 20 a game and he doesn't even have to shoot well at that point. They've got a complete team. We've talked about it all playoffs. It's kind of the roster that the Suns and the Lakers wish that they had. And with Anthony Edwards kind of having his coming out party, essentially, in this playoffs, you're wondering, can they actually be beat in the Western Conference? And Unless Denver, I mean, they shot a lot better in game three than they have pretty much, I think, the entire playoffs. They shot almost 50% from three, but they also stomped the Timberwolves. It was pretty much a defeat the whole way for Minnesota, and they had their bench guys in by, I think, 4 to 5 minutes left in the
fourth
quarter.
Which I absolutely love by Chris Finch. This game is over.
Yeah. See, yeah, rest your guys. Yeah.
Come sit down. We got another game. Don't even stress about it. They got one. We got two on theirs. Everybody come sit down. That's a page out of the Greg Popovich playoff, you know, scoring or playoff basketball.
Well, do we need more Pop influence? He's not in the playoffs, right?
I think we do. I don't think we have enough Pop influence, which is why basketball looks the way it looks now.
No, that's fair. All right. That's pretty fair. But basketball looking the way that it looks now, in my opinion, very hypocritical. I cannot stand the fact that Jamal Murray was not suspended. I understand that nothing did happen, and of course that if something happened, a player got injured or something like that, something was affected, the game was affected points-wise, then definitely, or the refs had to step in to keep that from happening. It definitely would have been a much bigger punishment. A $100,000 fine is nothing for the dude. That's like, what, $5 to you and I?
Well, hey man,
Drake, it's literally not even a slap on the wrist.
Drake has got all the boys from Canada looking crazy right now. So that's what it is. Jamal Murray is just... You know, hey, man, don't be that guy. Don't be that sensitive guy right now.
I just hate it. I can't stand it. Punish the dude. He did something stupid. And
yeah, he's not going to get punished.
No.
Like, it is what it is at this point. Now, if you're the Timberwolves, you just have to go out there and try to kick ass again. And if you're the Nuggets, you got to go out there and show the games one and two were a fluke.
I mean, if he would have apologized after, because I don't know if you heard his comments after the fact that he found out he was just fined and not suspended, but he's just like, yep, moving on, looking forward. Like, Jamal, apologize, dude. Don't be a D. Avoided a big suspension here. You avoided a big punishment. Be like, you know what?
It is what it is.
Yeah, that was...
I gotta get fined and apologize? No, I think the fine is my apology. I'm good.
No, the fine is the punishment. Yeah. The fine is not
now,
the
if somebody
apology.
Got hurt, I'm sure he would have apologized.
Oh my God.
You know, but nobody got hurt, so no harm, no foul. That's that old adage.
But in a situation where somebody could have gotten hurt, yeah, I'll probably do that again and just be a D. Like, come on.
I mean, I'm sure at that point he'd be like, no, I won't do that. Hindsight being 20/20, won't do that again. But no, since nobody got hurt, he got fine. We're on to Cincinnati.
I'll take the hindsight's 20/20 cheesy apology over the well,
you'd want an apology that's not genuine? Because that's what it wouldn't have been genuine. Like, so just, yeah, take the
No,
fine.
You're right. I want him to be genuine, and if he's not, I think he's a D-bag. So yeah. I just think he's being a
that's
D-bag.
I think that's what it is at this point, you know? So you can tell a lot about how people are when they're in these losing situations.
You're not wrong.
It brings up a lot of things that we don't see. When you're winning, it's very easy to see all the great things. But when you're losing, that's why I love Steph. Steph losing wasn't, like, pouty. In most cases, it wasn't, you know, blaming other people.
It wasn't level.
Like, man, we're not good right now. You know, so
he complains.
I'm sure he complained in the locker room. And all the places he's supposed to in the locker room at practice, all those things. I'm sure he complained and got on guys' ass and everything. But do some guys are just, you know, just take the good with the bad a lot of times. And we're gonna see a lot of how, you know, we're gonna see a lot about how Denver responds after, like I said, two shellackings in game one and game two. We see they came back in game three. Let's see if they can do it again.
All right. Well, we got game four tonight, 5 o'clock on TNT. The Timberwolves hosting the Nuggets. See if they can tie up the series. Before that, though, the Knicks and Pacers at 12:30 for their game four matchup. The Knicks lead that series 2-1. They will try to take a 3-1 series lead on the road. Indiana, though, a 5.5-point favorite. All right, let's switch gears from NBA playoff talk to some local talk. The Portland Trail Blazers and what seems to be more drama happening at One Center Court. Are they shadow firing Chauncey Billups? And what the heck is going on in the front office right now? We got to get into this to start the second hour of Sports Sunday. No Joe Fisher, it's a Schulte Shot edition of Sports Sunday here on 1080 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates, presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sportsbooks, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.